Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to weave in a couple of passages from different translations. We begin a brand new theme this month called Alignment for Your Assignment. We're talking about destiny and purpose, understanding destiny and purpose. Sometimes when we say God has a plan, it's become a cliche, and people sometimes switch off at that. They're like, God has a plan. Well, it sure stinks now, you know. Well, what's his plan? I'm just telling you, God does have a plan, and his plan is good, and his plan is working right now and always. Even when you don't see it, he's working behind the scenes, and it's working for your ultimate benefit. It didn't feel like it when we didn't build the dome. It felt like a crisis moment when we announced years ago, we're not going to build the dome right now. And I mean, for me as a leader, it was a personal crisis. I thought, okay, well, we've talked about it. We raised some money, whatever else. People aren't going to trust me anymore that I hear from God. But a year and a half later, after the downturn had happened, we had guest speakers start coming in and reminding our people, hey, we're telling our people all over the world about your pastors because they had the courage to not do something, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and look how it did pan out. If you didn't trust them because they didn't build, now you should trust them more because they heard from God because he knew what was coming to the world. And so, you know, it felt like a kick in the gut, and yet over time, you see the plan of God. And then the reason why we didn't build another sanctuary instead of the legacy building is because our church changed over the last 15 years. Our church changed and grew and realized what we needed was the ability to have community in a greater measure, not just big services. Amen? Because we're not trying to build cathedrals. We're trying to build the church, and the church isn't the building. The church is you, the people. The church is the people gather around a common mission, vision, and values. And that we're growing more and bigger than we've ever had. And we're thankful for that. We give God the glory. Alignment for your assignment. Let's begin with Ephesians 1, verse 4 from the Amplified. It says this: just as in his love, he chose us in Christ. He chose you. He chose us in Christ. Actually selected us for himself as his own. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve were, you were in God's heart already. Think about that. Just as in his love, he chose us in him, in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own, before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight in love. That says so much right there. I want to read to you from Ephesians 2, verse 10, from the Passion Translation. Many of you know the scripture says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Listen to what it says in the Passion. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Now, some people think destiny means you're a robot or a puppet on a string and that everything that happens is of God and he made it happen. That's not what destiny means. Destiny, think of the word destiny. It's the root word for the word destination. It's about the journey of the plans and purposes of the ultimacy of what you're supposed to accomplish with your life. God has a plan. He has a purpose. His purpose is good. He has a destiny for you. That doesn't mean you don't have free will and choice. You absolutely do. In fact, if you look at the areas that have become chaotic in your life, are the moments that you got off the path. That you wanted to do the destiny or the journey by yourself. Or you overrode what you sensed in your spirit, or you weren't leaning into God. You were checking out and life was happening. If you look at your life, those are the moments that are the biggest challenges. Finally, I want to weave in Romans 8:28, which a lot of people know by heart, but a lot of people don't really think about the context of this. So Romans 8:28, and we know. Everybody say we know. There's some things you know that you know that you know, and there's some things that you wish you knew. The Bible says, and we know, we're confident in this, that all things, say all things. All things work together for good. That doesn't mean they're good at the time. He's working them together behind the scenes for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. A lot of people want to quote that scripture that don't love God and aren't really interested in his purpose. This scripture is for you when you love him and you recognize that what you want is what he wants first and foremost more than what you want. Thank you for that overwhelming caffeinated amen. Let's pray one more time. Father, would you open the eyes of our heart today? We ask you that you would shine the light on this subject this month, that we can really drill down into your purpose for us. Lord, we love you, but help us love you more. We want to trust you. Help us trust you more. Help us, God, to understand destiny and purpose and your goodness in it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Dr. Miles Monroe said this, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but life without a reason. It's dangerous, he said, to be alive and not know why you were given life. And yet that describes a whole lot of people. Frustration is always the end result of having time, but not knowing why you have time. That's why people get bored and get into trouble. You know, the old adage is not a scripture, but it could be, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle hands. Why? Because when you're bored, even when you're resting, if you have purpose, you're resting for a purpose. But when you're bored and you lose sight of God's purpose for your life, it's easy to just get sidetracked by any little distraction. The story is told of a wealthy 76-year-old businessman known and celebrated in his community for his great success. He was the richest man in town. He lived in his huge beachfront mansion with his beautiful wife, had three grown, highly educated children, millions of dollars in the bank, investments all over the world. Yet after his failure one day to take his own life, yes, he tried to commit suicide. At 76, someone saved him from committing suicide. And as he sat there in an ambulance, he said to this young man that saved him, "Everyone thinks I am a success, but I am a failure. For years I've been so driven by the expectation of others that I've not discovered my personal reason for being. Everyone knows what I am, but I still don't know why I am. I am empty," he said, "depressed, frustrated, and sad. My life has no meaning. Unlike my well-filled bank accounts, I am unfulfilled." My friends, you can be the most successful looking person to the rest of the world, but you can be miserable on the inside, because fulfillment can never come from stuff, from achievement alone, accomplishment, personal ambitions, dreams, desires that you initiated. It can only happen. Fulfillment can only happen as you connect your life with the purpose of God. And I say this because people who struggle financially might have trouble believing that money isn't the key to happiness. But it isn't. A lot of people say, well, if I could just make more money, if I just had more, you know, if I doubled my income, we'd be happy and we'd have a great life. No, you would not. That's an illusion. What the Bible calls deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches is that somehow they will fulfill you in and of themselves, but they will not. God wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. But he wants to prosper you for a reason, for a purpose. He wants to prosper you for his good purpose. Jesus described a similar situation to what this 76-year-old man went through, in which Jesus described a rich farmer who had such a tremendous crop that he congratulated himself in Luke chapter 12, determined to just keep building bigger barns and live the high life, but didn't know his time on earth was done. As Jesus described it, Luke 12, verse 15 from the Message, it says, speaking to the people, he went on, take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Because life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. The New King James said this way, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God. Listen, God has no problem with you being rich. He wants you to be rich for him, for his purpose. The Message says that Jesus describes this man and says, and your barn full of goods, who gets it? That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. When your motivation is to be blessed so you can have more stuff, so you can feel better about yourself, you miss the whole point. Wealth, blessing, even having just enough and having a little more than enough is to glorify God with having to be abundantly well supplied in your life. Since the beginning of time, man has searched for the meaning of life. It's gone on since Adam and Eve, I'm sure. Unfortunately, most people begin at the wrong starting point. Especially in this day and age, we begin looking for purpose and destiny by looking at ourselves. What do I want? What should I do with my life? I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. Prophet Billy Joel. Just joking. My dreams, my talents, my ambitions, my. The postmodern trinity of self. Me, myself, and I. But part of alignment with your assignment is to focus on the Lord first, not looking within yourself as many self-help books and seminars would suggest. Real destiny can only begin one way. It begins with knowing Jesus. Not knowing about him, not knowing about religion, knowing him personally, in a personal way. You can know him before you leave this room today. You can know him before you shut off this view today that you're viewing online. You can know him in a real way, but it has to do with your heart, has to do with your pursuit, has to do with your motivation. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to eke out a living? Are you just trying to make it through? God wants to align you with your destiny, but it begins with Jesus. I love Romans 8, verse 6 from the Message. Listen, look at this. Obsession with self, Paul writes, obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. You want freedom? An opening, you want open doors, you want a destiny and a purpose that gives you fulfillment and satisfaction with your life. Look at him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Luke 9:24, I found this one from the Message Bible. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, Jesus said, my way to finding yourself, your true self. You know, a lot of people in the room that still don't know who they are, don't know their identity. You may know about that. You may know your talents and your gifts and your abilities, but once again, all that still begins with you. Begins with self. But the Bible says when you lean into God, when you point to him, when you'll seek him with all of your heart, he will make himself known to you. When you seek him with all your heart, listen to that. That's about pursuit. It's about desire. Rick Warren points out that there are only two ways to find the meaning of life. One, speculation through philosophy. Anybody ever take philosophy classes in college? Did you wind up more confused than you were before? I took philosophy my first year of college. And I was more confused than ever. I went home. more deeply unfulfilled. So I took a psychology class the next term, and I went up coming back through that thing, and I was crazy. Every kind of ism and phobia and whatever else, you know, you take these things on. So you can learn through speculation. One guy, though, at a university in Illinois, a study of 250 top thinkers, considered some of the smartest philosophers and people in the world. Listen to this. A study of 250 top thinkers asked the question, what's the meaning of life, to these experts? Some admitted being clueless. Most offered what they acknowledged were guesses or theories. And several said to the man making the study in Illinois, let us know if you find out. That's how it goes, folks. Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. So you can learn through, number one, speculation through philosophy, or number two, the only other way to learn the meaning of life, revelation directly from the designer. Revelation directly from the designer. If you want to know the purpose and potential of an invention, you have to ask the inventor. If you want to know what was in Steve Jobs' heart about what the iPhone would become, he's gone now, and I hope he got saved before he passed away a few years ago. But he was the designer. He could tell you the intricacies of why it was this way and why it looked that way and why they wrote, signed each individual thing on the inside that no one would ever see. There were all kinds of things that they did that went into that. But you'll never know without going to the inventor of a product. The creator knows every purpose and potential. And our creator is our Heavenly Father, God. And he chose us in him before there was a bang. Before the foundations of the world even came into being, the design was already that you would be here in 2024. That you'd be here for reasons and purposes, and that you would help other people in this time. And some of you, listen, you may have trouble believing this, but you have influence with people that would never listen to the likes of me just because I'm a preacher. They would automatically flip it off. But you have influence. You have influence, and that's part of what it's about. Traditionally, from 1646, a group of men got together to try to find the purpose of God in Westminster Abbey in London and came up with a paper called the Westminster Confession of Faith. What they said, this is the whole end result of everything. After years of seeking God, they wrote this: man's chief end or purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And one of the verses they used was 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, coffee from the Legacy Cafe, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible says. Whatever you do, even eating and drinking, do all for the glory of God. What do you like to eat? What are your favorite things to eat? Talk to me a little bit. What do you like to eat? Pizza. Chocolate pizza? Anyway, that's good. Some of you said chocolate, some of you said pizza. I agree with all that. Anybody like a nice pasta? Man, I love a good fettuccine Alfredo. Mwah. Yeah. Very nice. How about a nice steak? Anybody like steak? I know some of y'all vegetarians are here. We let you in the church. It's fine. You can stay. But the reality is the Bible says strong meat belongs to those who are of full maturity and age. Those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. Strong meat is good. Amen. Steak. Yeah. Who likes? Yeah. Ever seen those tomahawk steaks? Yeah. Now you're making me hungry. And we're not gonna eat for a while because we're here early, you know. The Bible says, whatever you enjoy eating of that, God created that for you to enjoy Him. To say, God, thank you for cows. Thank you. And that's no bull. Listen to this. And I'm going to make this statement. And this is what I hope you get this. Religion endures God. Relationship enjoys God. Religion endures God. We go to church because we have to go to church, and we tithe because we have to tithe, and we pray because we have to pray, and we do this because we... No. You don't understand. You get to do those things. You don't have to do those things. God said life works best that way. But you got it all turned around. If you're doing stuff because you have to do it, then you miss the point. You're enduring. You have an enduring kind of religious concept of God. But the fact is that God wants you to enjoy Him. I'll say it this way. If you're not enjoying your walk with the Lord, you're not doing it right. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just trying to tell you, if you're not enjoying walking with God, I'm not saying there aren't some hard moments, but if you're not enjoying this life in Him, you've missed the point and you're doing it wrong. Give your heart over. Pursue Him. We often say God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Like I said earlier, it becomes a cliche at times, and people, you know, it's kind of off-putting. But God does have a plan, and He does have a purpose, but it may not be what or how you think. I was thinking of this the other day. 1982, we had our son Ricky was 2 years old. We didn't have our daughter Kristen yet till 84. And so we were a young couple. We were living in a mobile home down in Sanford, Florida, where I grew up, Lake Mary. By the way, Lake Mary, I don't know if anybody saw the stuff. I used to play for Lake Mary Little League. I am an alum of the world champions. Back then, we were Lake Mary Little League. Bob McKee Used Cars was on our front of our shirt. Now they have really cool uniforms. All we had was T-shirts that said Bob McKee Used Cars. Anyway, in 82, we got to this place where we had come to visit my wife's old church up here in Ocala and met several of her friends, and we were just feeling like, wow, wouldn't it be cool to live in Ocala someday? But I had a really good job down in Winter Springs at a place called American Fastener Components, and we were doing really well, and things were just going along. And one day, well, actually, I came up here. I took a day off on a Friday in September of 1982, and I was only 3 years old. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, just a joke. So I took a day off to come here to look for a job. Hey, maybe we can move to Ocala. And wouldn't that be neat if we go up there and go to that church? We wanted to do that. And when I got back to work on Monday morning, I got called into my boss's office, and I got fired. I had only told one other person I was looking around in Ocala for a job. But I had in all the quoting I had to do, I was a salesperson. I threw away a paper that they had this woman boss, and she really kind of had it in for me. And she dug this paper I threw away out of the garbage, and she made it seem like I had made a mistake and I hadn't done it. But anyway, long story short, I was fired from the only job I've ever been fired from, and I was devastated. I mean, I was like, what in the world is going on? As we looked around, I mean, it felt like I was going to die. I mean, I looked around Orlando for another job. I couldn't find another job for about 6 weeks. And finally, it's like, well, we were going to try to go to Ocala anyway. Let's go in and just move to Ocala. We went to see our pastor up here in Ocala to visit him and tell him, we want to move up here. Do you know of any jobs? And right away he said, well, we have several guys in the insurance business in the church, and you could get an insurance job. And I said, no, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll never do that. You got to be careful what you say you'll never do. a few months later, I was like, can you get me the insurance job? But at that time, I said, you know, he goes, well, that's the only job I know. But I will tell you, something strange happened this morning. He said, I got a call from the Johnson family who live now. They moved from our church and moved from Ocala to Denver, Colorado. And they have a house here. And the people they're renting it to have to leave all of a sudden. And they need somebody to house sit for them. They said they would let you stay there for 6 weeks for free. I mean, you know, God can do something just kind of, I thought, okay, we're going to need a job. God said, well, how about a house? And from that, everything else unfolded to what has happened today. Sometimes the worst moments of your life, God is working behind the scenes in the purpose, even though you feel like you're going through hell. And I want to say to you, sometimes you got to get through what you're going through before you break through. You got to get through it. You got to keep moving. Sometimes the breakthrough doesn't feel like the breakthrough. The breakthrough feels like the breakdown. And I want to encourage you that God is bigger than this, and that's why you have to keep your eyes on Him and on His purpose for your life. God's first purpose in creating you is to love you. I'm going to let that sit there just for a second. Because most people can't actually process that. God's first purpose for creating you that's revealed through His Word is to love you. He wanted a family. He wanted sons and daughters. You ever been in a place where you're longing, you know, some of you young couples, whatever, you're longing to have a family, trying to have kids, longing for that. That longing is from Him. That's how He felt. Now, God can't be sad because He's God. He can't be unfulfilled because He's God. He is fulfilled with Himself. Yet, out of that, He still created the heavens and the earth to create a system and a structure that would take care of you and hold you in. They say that if the planet were to move inches away further from the sun, we'd all freeze. Inches closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. We're right in the orbit we need to be in to have a habitation where God could just love on you. Yeah, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, that's the big picture. He created you to love you. But specifically, I want to give you five key purposes for your life. Five key purposes for all of our lives. And that this is realized or unrealized. This is for Christians or non-Christians. God created humanity for these five things. And your life will go best when these five purposes are being experienced in your life. Number one, God created you for worship. To worship Him, centering our lives around God, expressing honor, acknowledging our need for Him. Think about the language of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. You are created to worship Him. It is the primary thing for which you exist in this world, for which you live, is to be a worshiper. And that's not just singing a song at church. To worship Him, to honor Him in your thoughts, to honor Him in your actions, to honor Him in your desires and your motivations. Acknowledge your need for Him, His presence and His power. Number two, you're created for fellowship. Learning to love God's family in community. That's why the local church, in all of its flaws, pardon me, in all of its flaws, the local church is so challenging sometimes. Of course, I'm just the pastor. Yet it's God's created embassy, outpost, to reach the planet through the local church. It's God's best way, and it happens organically through community, through fellowship. You are created to fellowship, to worship God, fellowship with Him, but to fellowship with God's people. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the Bible says. Assemble together. Number three, spiritual growth. Your life will never be fulfilled unless you're growing spiritually. And that is why it's a challenge, because some people, they pray a prayer. They were in a church maybe where they prayed a prayer, received Jesus as Savior, and then they set Him on the back burner and went to live their lives. And they were told, once saved, always saved. And they weren't taught it's about an ongoing relationship. Can I tell you, it's more than just praying a prayer. It's having a relationship with God. What if my wife and I have been married 44, almost 44 and a half years. Next month is our 46th anniversary of our first date. We've been together a long time. September 28th, we always celebrate the anniversary of our first date. It'll be 46 years. It's crazy. But on our wedding day, I didn't just take vows and say, I love you, and then go live my life. I've told her I love her every day since then, and she's told me she loves me every day since then. Why? Because relationship is ongoing. It's not a one-off thing. It's reassurance. It's acknowledging. It's affirming and reaffirming. It's expressing love. Spiritual growth is a way you express that you want God's purpose. Cultivating spiritual maturity through discipleship. Living things grow and develop unto their full stature. And you and I are called to live and develop and grow unto full stature. God knows why you're here. You need to keep asking Him why and get around other people to be that influence. But you need to be in church to grow spiritually. That's part of your purpose. Number four, ministry. This is where a lot of people get a little reaction. No, ministry is what you do, Pastor. No, ministry is what we all do. Ministry is the call of God. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should serve Him, that we should serve Him joyfully. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him. Ministry is simply serving God by serving others. Anytime you're helping anybody else, the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in His name, you'll never lose your reward. And yet you've watered people, you've blessed them. Can I get you something? Can I help you something? But when you do it in the name of the Lord for His purpose, the Bible says you're fulfilling destiny. You're fulfilling purpose, and it may seem small, but it's big to God. It's big enough that He records it, the Bible says, and He knows it, and you'll never lose your reward for it. You'll be honored for everything you did. Ministry. Every believer should be contributing something back through serving. But you say, well, I don't want to be in ministry. Well, you may not want to be, but if you're born again, that's part of your purpose, is to see your job as part of your ministry. You're there on your job for a reason, even in those times where you hate your job. You're there for a reason. Each day you're there for a reason, and you're also there for a reason over time. There are some people that you're going to influence and impact with your life. Ministry. Number five, and I'm almost done. Number five is evangelism. You say, well, I don't like that word. That means I have to do something. That's exactly right. Sharing God's love with others, the Bible calls it overcoming by the word of your testimony. Whether you know it or not, in you is go and tell. Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach. He didn't mean behind a pulpit. Go on to all the world and publish the good news, is what it literally means. Publish. Get it out there. Write a song. Write a jingle. Write a statement. Get it out there. Help somebody. Listen, evangelism is about, you know what gossip is? Gossip is the perversion of go tell. Gossip is a perversion. And a lot of people have this, I can't wait to tell them that. Oh, did you hear about? Oh. That's the enemy flipping around your purpose. Because you're created to go and tell. Go tell it on the mountain, right? Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell them Jesus Christ is Lord. Go tell. Go tell is in every believer. Not just me. Not just the pastors. You. Go tell. Well, you don't understand. I'm a quiet person. Well, you're quiet, but there's some things you can't. You're bursting the seams to tell somebody. Tell them good news. Tell them a reason for the hope that's in you when they ask. That's what the Bible says. One of our delightful things we had when we went to Iceland a couple weeks ago is we were, one of our Bible school students that came when he was a teenager is now, as Pastor Chris told you last week, his name is Gisli. And Gisli is now a political leader for the Conservative Party, the Independence Party in Iceland. And when he dropped us off at our hotel, we went down to get some food a little while later, and he was still in the lobby of our hotel, and he was in a meeting with this young lady, and so he introduced us to her, and she was a very sweet lady. I should have showed you her picture, but I didn't plan to share the story. Anyway, Gisli's probably mid-40s. She's like early 30s, and she goes, and Gisli said, this is one of the cabinet ministers for our nation. And she is the cabinet ministry, the minister of innovation and technology. And she is working right now on how AI, artificial intelligence, is going to be allowed to impact Iceland for good things and not for bad things. And she's working with a whole team of people. And she said, oh, it's so nice to meet you. She said, Gisli is my mentor. He recruited me, she said 15 years ago, but that would have made her probably 16, 17 years old. He said, he recruited me to go into politics when I was a teenager. And now she's a cabinet minister for the nation at 32 years of age. Part of why we had our Bible school years ago, the Lord promised us we would influence influencers. And I thought of that sitting there going, oh my gosh. He's having a huge impact. He's basically a journalist, has a podcast, and writes for the newspaper. Principles of God that he doesn't quote scripture on. But he's preaching to the nation and affecting other people. My friends, don't underestimate what God can do if you just allow him to use your life for good things. That's part of the evangelism. Go and tell. These five keys form a strong foundation for successful and satisfying lives. You are on this earth at this time for a reason. And whether you realize it or not, there's a calling on your life for God's purpose, for God's destiny. Destiny is about your own faith-filled journey to get to God's best. But here's the deal. You have to surrender to it because you have to surrender to him. It has to be bigger than your selfish desires. It has to be bigger than just you existing. It has to be bigger than all the problems you're facing right now. I'm here for a reason. God, show me the reason. I surrender to you, Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your creative power. Thank you that on this Labor Day we celebrate work. And yet the Bible says we are your workmanship. We are your poetry. We are your masterpiece, created in Christ for good works. Lord, thank you for what you're doing inside of us, Father. I pray for every young person in the room, especially they would not waver and be swayed by what everybody else tells them they should become or how everybody else defines them. Let them understand that you define us, that you show us who we are, that you tell us who we are, that you create us for a reason, for a specific purpose. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Lord, with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, maybe you're at home watching, maybe you're in the room, maybe you're somewhere on the campus listening. I want to challenge you. God created you to love on you, but that love is reciprocal. Love is not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. Prayer is not a monologue where God just wants you to talk to him. He wants to talk to you. It's a dialogue, it's a conversation. Let's get our eyes off of this religious gobbledygook and all this nonsense, and let's put our eyes back on relationship with Jesus Christ. He's real, and he's alive, and he's mighty, and he knows why you're here, and he can show you and tell you over time the ins and outs, the ups and downs. If you're here today, I want to say to you, finding your destiny is not automatic, because you're not a puppet on a string, but you're here for many reasons, many purposes in him. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord, or maybe you've just been living life your own way. Life's been happening and it's been hurting. And you don't know why this, why that, what's going on. And you're blaming instead of growing. I want to challenge you. This is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. You say, well, I'll do this. I'll surrender someday. You don't know someday. This may be your only someday. You can't get saved when you decide. You can only respond when he's drawing you. And if he's knocking on the door of your heart right now, I plead with you. Don't push God away. Don't relegate him to the sideline. Invite him in right now. In a moment where everybody has privacy, if you're here today and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to get right with God, or I want to make sure. I want to rededicate myself. Whatever, wherever you're at, you know it. If that's you, would you put your hand up right now and keep it up just long enough that I can see you? Long enough. Come put your hand up. Hands are going up all over the place. That's awesome. Hands up. I want to see you. If your hand is up, would you lift up your eyes and look at me? And I want to see you. And then you can put your hand down when you know I've connected with you. Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, back there. Is there someone else right there? Yes. Right there, right there. To someone else. That's fantastic. And these lights, it's hard to see sometimes. It's to somebody else. Someone right back there, I see you. Fantastic. This is the moment you were created to flip the switch. Somebody just told me recently, I just had a light bulb moment, he said. I feel like I was blind, and now I can see. That's this moment right now for those of you who just raised your hand. Lord, I pray that you reveal yourself to each and every one of those folks. Everyone whose hand was raised, everyone whose heart is open, here and at home, right now, I pray that you'd reveal yourself, Jesus, as these people cry out to you, call unto you, and lean into you. Holy Spirit, come and fill everyone. Reveal yourself. Reveal Jesus to their insides. And show them their destiny in Jesus' name. Those of you that raise your hand, you know, everybody pray this with me out loud. Just say it out loud. Just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. Come into my life. I want to know you. I don't want religion. I want relationship. To know you in a real way. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I turn it to you now. And I ask you to help me to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you meant that, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Give the Lord a hand right now. That's tremendous. God bless you guys.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,